This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. In 1981, our guest Stephen Gillen was a graduate student and teaching assistant at Brown University. He was assigned to give a lecture on the presidency of John F. Kennedy. He covered some of JFK's triumphs, but discussed his failures in even more detail and who was in the front row. John F. Kennedy, Jr. It was an inauspicious meeting, and it somehow birthed a lifelong friendship. And now Brown University, which produced Bobby Jindal, has one of its native sons, Stephen Gillen, writing about another Brown graduate, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, Jr., who died July 16, 1999, tragic plane crash. In 4 days, it'll be 20 years. And the book is The Life of John F. Kennedy, Jr., America's Reluctant Prince. Good morning, Steve Gillen.
Good morning. Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Well, how well did you know John F. Kennedy, Jr.?
So I think of John's friendships as a wheel, and there was a core group of people, maybe a dozen people, who were part of that inner circle. And then there's spokes on the wheel, and I was a spoke on the wheel. I was. John used to refer to me as his racquetball-playing professor. So I spent a lot of time talking to John about his life and about his father and about history and politics. So over an 18-year period, I got to know him well, but I was not a part of that inner circle.
You in this book not only had personal recollection of John F. Kennedy, Jr., but you also went places others have not. You got Secret Service documents. How did this happen?
So I filed a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act request, and the Secret Service turned me down. I filed an appeal. They turned me down, so I sued them. And I also sued the FBI, the Secret Service in particular turned over around 500 pages of documents. And they were just fascinating to see for two reasons. One is they gave you a sense of the bubble that John grew up in for the first 16 years of his life. John could not venture out of the house with all these machinations taking place, you know, who was going to cover him and how they were going to cover him. And everything had to be planned ahead of time, which I think explains some of his restlessness later in life because he grew up in this bubble. But the most shocking thing is just how stressful, how tense the relationship was between the Secret Service and Jackie over how they covered John. And Jackie did not want John to ever turn around and see a Secret Service agent. The Secret Service said in order to protect him, they have to be closer than that. And it just goes back and forth until the event in the Central Park where John has his bike stolen, I think it's 74. And Jackie writes a scathing letter to the Secret Service, and at one point she says, if anything happens to John, I will not be as nice to you as I was after Dallas. That gives you an idea of how bad the relationship was.
Well, he lived in a cocoon, but yet he somehow, some way got outside enough that he had this remarkable physique. I don't think he got that simply by genetic disposition, but he was an amazingly talented man, and, of course, he was John F. Kennedy, Jr., and he had everything. We've talked before. It's quite possible he would have been the president of the United States at some point if he had gone that route, and there were rumblings at the time of his death that he was thinking about it. Where was he on that scale at that time, Steve Gillen?
Sure. So, you know, the book is called Reluctant Prince because the public always expected John to go into politics, and he was reluctant to do so until those last couple of years of his life. And then he started to drop hints about his interest in politics. And he passed on the Senate race in 2000 in New York State, which the race that Hillary Clinton ran and won. But in the last night of his life, on Thursday night, he's at a Yankees game with his close friend Gary Ginsberg. And he tells Gary that he thinks that the race for him would be the governor's race, New York governor's race. I think it was in 2002. So John went from being a reluctant prince to being a prince who wanted to go into politics.
Were his politics similar to his uncle's, Ted Kennedy, who was still alive at that point and active in the U.S. Senate?
No. And that John was much more like his father. And he was much more pragmatic. Less ideological, and John was a mix of conservative and liberal ideas. I mean, he would have run as a Democrat, but John did not believe in partisan divisions. He believed in civility most of all. But, you know, he talked about moral hazard, which is a very conservative concept where a government in its best intentions actually makes life more difficult for people, and he talked about unintended consequences. So he was, John was a mix of liberal and conservative ideas, and I don't think he had completely thought it through. The one thing he was passionate about was civil rights.
What did he remember about his father?
Very little. You know, one of the stories I tell in the book was how John was having lunch with his friend Michael Berman one day, and Berman looks around, he sees everybody looking at John. He says, John, it must be odd for you. You probably don't know a soul in here, but, you know, they all are staring at you. And John said, that's not the odd part. What's really weird and difficult for me is that they remember and I don't. And that, I think, was very revealing. John told me that he couldn't distinguish his own memories of his father from the many photographs that he had seen over the years, that they blurred. He doesn't remember nothing about his father's death or the salute, the way we know John. He had some memories of, you know, his playing in the Oval Office. He remembered being under the desk. He told me that the reason why he was under the desk was his mother would not allow him to chew gum in the White House. So if he went to the Oval Office, his dad would give him a stick of gum, but he had to chew it under the desk. So if his mom walked in, she wouldn't see him.
Well, on the night of his death, he was on crutches, wasn't he?
He was on crutches. He had his cast taken off on Thursday morning. He should not have been flying that night. And that's the bottom line, is that John bears sole responsibility for that accident. Which, and the death of his death and the death of his sister, of his wife and her sister.
And it was over Martha's Vineyard. Could it have been avoided? Independent of injuries, did he make some mistakes while flying?
So I talked to pilots, and they said that when a plane crashes, it's not one mistake, it's a series of mistakes that people make. And for John, number one was not having an instructor on the plane with him. John was not instrument trained. He had just gotten his cast off. He should have had an instructor with him. Secondly, he should have checked the weather report right before he took off, and he would have learned that a heavy fog had descended over Martha's Vineyard. Third, when he's flying, when he saw that the fog, he should have done what a lot of other experienced pilots did, which is they turned inland and they stayed in Connecticut or Rhode Island or even in Massachusetts for the night, and then went out again in the morning. But instead, John chose to fly into the fog. John was a risk taker. He had been his whole life. He had always survived. He always found a way out. I have no doubt that he thought he could find a way out that night, and tragically, he never did.
And it's the so-called Kennedy curse, and I recall seeing Ted Kennedy. He had to identify the bodies, didn't he?
That's right. That's right. But I don't believe there's a Kennedy curse. The Kennedys are risk takers. They all die doing something that most people don't do. And, you know, John's father was in an open limousine going through downtown Dallas, despite the Secret Service recommendations that he not go through downtown, and that he have have some kind of protection on the roof of the car. And John, I drove in a car with John, going down Fifth Avenue, weaving in and out of traffic at high speed. So John was a natural risk taker. You know, they suffer the consequences of being risk takers. But there's no curse on the Kennedys.
How was his relationship with his wife?
Well, it was fine until they got married, which happens a lot of times. And the big problem in their relationship was the paparazzi. John and Carolyn both believed that once he was married, that the paparazzi would go away, that John would no longer be America's most eligible bachelor. He'd just be like anybody else. And instead, just the opposite happened. And they tortured Carolyn, and they hunted her like an animal. And she had a really difficult time dealing with it for understandable reasons. And she took a lot of her anger and frustration out on John. So the relationship was really sort of spiraling out of control in those last months. Although a friend said to me, and I really believe this, he said, if anyone tells you they know how that relationship was going to end, they're lying, because John and Carolyn didn't know how it was going to end. So had they not died, would they have gotten a divorce? Would they have been separated? Or would they have found a way of working it out? We'll never know.
Lastly, John had become a publisher, George Magazine, a very good magazine. And he did a lot of the heavy lifting himself, and one of the best known interviews was with Warren Beatty, who had been linked to his mother, and that was an eye opener.
That was, and I mean, I think the one that got the most attention was when he had Drew Barrymore dressed up as Marilyn Monroe singing "Happy Birthday, Mr. President." And people were shocked that he would do that, that it was disrespectful to his mother. But John never believed that his father had an affair with Marilyn Monroe. So he was playing with public perceptions more than with reality. And that's what he did with the magazine. John, it was a bold new initiative. It was ahead of its time in anticipating the merger between politics and popular culture. But for a variety of reasons, it didn't work.
Do you think he would have been president?
I struggle with this. I, as an historian, I have a difficult time putting the pieces of the puzzle in the past together. I'm not good at speculating about the future. I certainly think John wanted to be president, and I think if things turned out the way he had hoped, he would have run for president. He wanted to go home, as he used to say.
The book from Stephen Gillen, The Life of John F. Kennedy Jr., America's Reluctant Prince, a remarkable read. Please be safe. We'll keep you posted right here on WRKF and Talk Louisiana. Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial.